We'll take your Bibles and turn with me to James. James chapter 1. We'll look at verses 1 through 6 this morning. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. The title of the message is God's Wisdom in Our Trials. God's Wisdom in Our Trials. James says that he is a servant of God, a slave of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad with a greeting. And he said, "My brethren, believers in Christ, count it all joy when you fall into different or diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Joy of trials. This is completely opposite of human nature. Our human nature is automatically opposed to difficulty. We are automatically opposed to anything that opposes us or our desires. And so when these trials, believers, when these trials and difficulties do come, the Scripture says, reckon it, count it up as all joy. All joy. Why is it that believers are to count their trials and difficulties as joy? Well, first of all, because they are sent of our Father. These trials and difficulties are not accidents. These trials and difficulties may be the result of our sin. They may be the result of what we have done. If we have fallen away like Lot had fallen away, surely he had great difficulty. But we know this, that the sovereignty of God overrules all things for good. For good. We know that all things are good for those who love God. Is that what it says? It says all things work together for our good. So all things work together for our good. They don't necessarily seem good at the time they are happening. But they do work together for our good. And this requires us to believe and trust God in our trials. And know this, that God is not trying us because He is a mean tyrant or that He is like us. Because that's what we would do. We would have men tried because of our own pride. Or we would have men into difficulties to teach them a lesson. How many times have we tried to teach people lessons? Well, I'm just going to show them. Well, God doesn't do that. Our trials are on purpose and they're for a good reason. James says, when you fall into different trials, you should rejoice because knowing this, that the trying of your faith works something. It does something. It gives us something. What does the trial of our faith give us? It gives us patience. Patience. Tribulation, in Romans chapter 5, it tells us plainly, tribulation worketh what? Patience. What good is patience? Why do I need patience? Tribulation worketh patience, and patience... Let's go over there. I don't want to misquote it. Go to Romans chapter 5. Let's read it together. I don't want to misquote it. Romans chapter 5. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. You who have been believers for a long time, is this not so? Has tribulation worked patience with you? And with patience comes what? Experience. We've experienced time and time again the Word of God. The Word of God. We've experienced His Word to be what? True and faithful. And experience. Hope. Hope does not mean a wish. It's not, gee, I hope so. No, hope means a rock-solid confidence. Is anybody desire to have confidence, assurance? I do. I long to have assurance. Well, guess how it comes? It comes by tribulation. It comes through patience while in the tribulation. And when God delivers us out, we have what? We have an experience of deliverance. And with that experience comes confidence, rock solid assurance, not in ourselves, not in our strength, but in our God. One thing about it I know concerning myself is I don't believe God like I should. I don't trust God like I should. He is worthy of trust. If anybody's worthy of trust, God is. And yet, who gets the short end of the stick when it comes to trust? Our Lord. So when you fall into different troubles, know this, it is the trying of your faith. The trying of your faith. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Back over in our text, James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What does he tell us to do in the middle of this trial as this patience is working? He said, let patience have her perfect work. Oh. Do you kick against your trials? Are we always struggling to get out so quickly by human thought and reason? Well, if I can maneuver this, then I will get out of this trouble. And sure enough, when you do that, there's only more trouble to be found. Let it alone. You're in trouble. Look to God alone. Trust in the Lord to get us out of our trouble. And friends, as we do this, as we let patience have our perfect work, that you be perfect and entire. What does that mean? That you become sinless? Absolutely not. What that means is you grow up. Grow up. Who is so spiritually mature that they don't need spiritual growth? Who? None of us. None of us have obtained unto the perfection that awaits us in glory. None of us have attained unto such holiness or righteousness. None of us have obtained the spiritual maturity as of an infant that dies in infancy. Once he is ushered into heaven, he has more spiritual maturity than a person who's been here 100 years believing. We all have room for spiritual growth. I didn't say adding doctrine. We don't add new doctrines. We don't add new things to the work of Christ. We just grow in what is already there. What God has already created, it grows. It grows. And it grows through this matter of troubles. And what is the result then of a person who lets patience have her perfect work, growing in the grace and knowledge of God. What do we become? Wanting nothing. I want to be content with such things as I have. Let patience have her perfect work. In the midst of our troubles, let us trust God in all things. And in believing God, we shall want for nothing. Have you lacked anything that is good? You are believers. Is there anything that you can say, well, God, you know, that you kept that from me? No. Usually we've taken what doesn't belong to us, what God has told us not to take, and which caused us nothing but trouble ever since. So we can only blame ourselves for those things. But friends, God is good, and what God has given us. And think of the good things that even out of our evil, God is still bestowing good things. How gracious is that? Because I'll tell you, none of us would do that. Only God would do such things. And then he says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom. Who needs wisdom? Who needs wisdom? Is anyone lacking in wisdom? You in the midst of your suffering, are you lacking in wisdom? We who are believers in Christ, listen to this, you never lack grace. That's good. I am never going to lack in the grace of God. Now, I may feel like I am, but that's not so. I have the full, unmerited favor of Almighty God, and I've had it from eternity. I have it now, and I shall forevermore have the grace of God. I'll never lack it one bit. Believers in Christ, though we never lack the grace of God, yet in our experience we often lack wisdom. Discernment. We lack in wisdom of the grace of God. I never lack the grace of God, but sometimes I don't fully see. I don't fully apply the grace of God in true wisdom. We lack understanding. Now we know Christ is all our salvation. We know we've experienced the grace of God, and we understand that Christ, the Son of God, is all our righteousness. His blood is all our atonement. He is all our salvation. We know that He is risen again from the dead. We know that He is seated on the right hand of God. We know that He will call all of His elect to Himself by faith. We know that He shall keep us until we die and go to be with Him, or He comes and receives us first, whichever it is. We know these things. You know these things. We all know them. But do we fully know them? Have you reached a level to where you do not need more understanding or wisdom of these things? We do not fully understand what we believe to be true. Isn't that correct? God says many things about Himself that I don't understand. Do you understand the Trinity? No. I believe in the triune God. I don't fully understand it. Do you understand the transaction that Jesus took on the cross when He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him? Do you fully understand that transaction? No, I believe it. I don't understand it. So there's a lot of things we don't understand that we believe, but I want to know more of these things. I want to understand them more fully. Though we've been given the righteousness of God, and though we've been given the wisdom of God by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, how do you believe? How is it that you know these things? Is it not because God has opened this wisdom to you? Has it because not God gave you this wisdom? If you believe on Christ, this is the wisdom of God is given to you. It is given to you. Yet because we still dwell in this earthly frame, we are easily perplexed. We are easily cast down. We are easily discouraged when these trials of our faith arise. And what is the question? What do we do? Well, we have wisdom, but we're so easily, that wisdom is easily set aside by our circumstances or by things. We understand God's sovereign, and yet we complain when everything doesn't go our way. Is that wisdom? To complain against God? No. We need wisdom. We need to be given wisdom to make right judgments and discernments. We need the wisdom of God. We need to look to the wisdom of God instead of looking at our circumstance. Instead of trusting in our own flesh, instead of trusting man, we should be trusting the Word of God as opposed to trusting earthly wisdom. How often do we put ourselves in great peril trusting our feelings? I feel, therefore I do. And where does that get us? Great trouble. Great trouble. So if any of you lack wisdom, am I talking to you? Because I'm talking to me. When I prepare these things, I think me first, believe me. I'm talking to me before I'm talking to you. Does any of us lack wisdom? You bet. Right here. I'm number one, get in line. Okay? I'm number one. I lack wisdom. If any of them lack wisdom, where do we go? Where do we go for guidance? Where do we go to make these discernments? The Scripture is clear. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James tells us. Ask of God. Only God can give us true, enduring wisdom, and only God can cause us to grow in this wisdom. Only God can give us this wisdom. The wisdom of God, friends, is immutable. It's unchangeable. It doesn't change with time. So if you're in trouble and you see a new way out, don't take it. God's wisdom is old wisdom. It's the same wisdom as given to Abel. It was the same wisdom that was given to Abraham. It was the same wisdom that Solomon had. It's the same wisdom that you and I are given by the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is faith in Christ alone. How can we weather any storm? Grab hold of Christ and don't let go. Hang on by faith to Christ. Look to Christ. He is God's wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. Believer, God has given us His wisdom. But how is it that we knew that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God? Word of God. The Word of God. This is how we know wisdom, is by the Word of God. And what does the Word of God tell us about wisdom? Where do we begin? If we desire wisdom, where do you begin? Where do you start? Let him ask of God. How do you just start? Asking for wisdom and receiving wisdom. Well, you know this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Start there. The fear of the Lord. Ask of God for wisdom. How? In godly fear. In godly fear. In other words, come with humility. If any man is to ask of wisdom of God, he must come in great humility. Because that's the beginning. If you don't start here, you don't get wisdom. You must come to God as you are, a sinner in need of grace. A sinner in need of mercy. From the everlasting, almighty, all-holy God, you and I need mercy from God. And if we're to have wisdom, it must be in reverential fear. We come before God and ask for mercy to give us such wisdom. If we lack wisdom, let us ask of God in humility. And notice this. Let him ask of God that giveth to all. God giveth wisdom to all who ask. To all who ask for wisdom. If we lack wisdom, ask of God and He will give it to us. How? By His Holy Spirit that dwells in us. The Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so when we ask for wisdom, we are never to trust our flesh. We are never to trust the arm of flesh. It'll fail us. We should never seek the wisdom of God by feelings or emotions to guide us unless it is in direct correlation with the Word of God. How many times have somebody said, well, I'm just trusting God for this? Do you have a promise? Is it in accordance with the Word of God? Because that's not wisdom. To just trust, you throw your hands in the air, trust your emotions and run with it, that is not wisdom. That is not waiting on the Lord to give you wisdom. That's pride. It's assumption and it's foolishness. Some people say, well, I feel that God would have me lie so this thing will get out and get out of this trouble. We know that's foolishness. Some people say, well, I'm saved by grace. I'm just going to use this liberty just for an occasion to get me out of my trouble. That's not wisdom. Paul said, shall I sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. No matter our excuse, sin is not an acceptable way out of difficulty. John said, my little children, sin not. But immediately after, I'm so thankful, he said, when you sin. Not if. That word if is better translated when. He said, when you sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Wisdom begins with reverence to God, with humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will, when? In due time, exalt you. When is that? I don't know. In His time. In His time. Proverbs 3, it tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. You see that those are two opposing things? Being wise in your own eyes and fearing the Lord, you can't have both. We must humble ourselves before God and ask for wisdom. Ask for His mercy. And depart from all evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. How then are we to ask for such wisdom? Well, in prayer. In prayer, considering the generosity of God. Believer, how generous has God been? How generous has He been to you? Will He cease to be generous? Will He cease to be gracious? No. Go before your Father in humility and ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. Ask concerning the gracious, considering the graciousness of God. Proverbs chapter 8 says, "Wisdom standeth at the top of high places, by the way of the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors." Wisdom cries, even this morning, to your hearts. Wisdom cries because wisdom is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the wisdom of God. So when we ask for wisdom, what are we asking for? To know our Savior. To trust our Lord. To believe on Him. To rest. Isn't that strange how it says in Hebrews, labor to enter into His rest? You know why? Because it's hard. We're constantly having to throw off the works of this flesh. Constantly having to put off the old man to rest in His work. To rest. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God as to how God can be just and justify you. There's no wisdom in your doing. There's wisdom in His work that has been done. Meditate on it. Think of the wisdom of God it took to save us. None of us could have ever figured this out. None of us could have ever planned such a salvation. None of us could have ever had a salvation that was so wrapped up and sure as the salvation that God has purposed from eternity. That He accomplished in time, that He gave to us by faith in Christ, and that He keeps in us right now. Why are you here? Why are you still believing on Christ? It is because God keeps you. Christ is the wisdom of God. If you are a sinner without Christ, let me tell you, I don't care how smart you are, you ain't got any wisdom. You don't have any wisdom. Now, you may be a moral person. You may have good earthly judgments. You may be, you may have a great marriage. You may have a great successful life. You've earned your money. You diligently worked. And you've got a good reputation of intelligence, even in the church. But friends, without Christ, you're blind, ignorant, and stupid. Without Christ, you are nothing. And you have nothing. And all your wisdom and all your goodness will get you hell. And that's it. If any sinner desires to know the wisdom of God and salvation, come humbly before God and ask. Ask. ask of God to give you faith to believe. Don't ask me. I can't give you faith. Only God can give you faith. Ask of Him to give you wisdom to see that Jesus Christ is all your salvation. And you who believe, is it because you were smarter than others that you figured this out because you were greater? No! I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't even asking for it. God gave it to me. And now all I can do, all I want to do is ask. That's all I want to do is ask. And keep on asking. Lord, give me faith. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, be thou merciful to me, the sinner. Constantly, this is my prayer. This is not something that I once did way back when. It's something I do every day. I need His mercy and wisdom every day. What happens when you ask? When someone comes in humility, someone comes as a sinner without wisdom, someone who comes seeking faith from God, who seeks to know Christ, what happens to such a person? Well, look at your text. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men, how? Liberally. Liberally, abundantly, so much that it overflows. I go to Thornton's. I like those 44-ounce big cups. Anybody who doesn't serve 44 ounces is a communist. I like those big old things. But you know what I do when I get in there? I push that thing. And it comes in, and I just wait till it just flows over. And then I take a sip, and I put it back under, and I push it again, just to make sure I've got enough. That's liberally! God gives wisdom liberally, fully, abundant wisdom, saving wisdom, saving. Only God never stops pushing the button. God never stops overflowing with love and grace and forgiveness and mercy and kindness, generosity. All of the graces of God overflow daily. And the only way we miss them is if we keep our eyes and take our eyes off of Jesus Christ. How many times have we taken our eyes off of Him to set them on some puny, affectionate thing in this world, all the while behind us the graces are still flowing? And all the while we've missed them. We've missed seeing them because we missed asking. He gives liberally. Believer, do you know that God has given you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? You haven't missed one of them. There's not one blessing God's going to give that you miss out on. Matter of fact, He gave them before the world began. Where? In Christ. In Christ. We who believe on Jesus Christ have been given great wisdom. We've been able to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. For God made Christ to be our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Can you measure the fullness of Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God? Can you measure Him? Can you measure His righteousness? His blood, how precious it was. Can you ever learn enough of Christ? If God ever gives us enough to fill this puny mind and heart so that it would explode. There would be plenty more. Take a thimble of water out of the ocean and you've got, what does the ocean lack? Nothing. Friends, if we are full to the brim with the knowledge of Christ, we've only begun. We've only begun to understand His mercy, His salvation. That He has taken all, that He is all our salvation, all our wisdom to answer our guilt. Do you feel guilt? You need wisdom. You need Christ to answer your guilt. Our circumstances, our enemies, and how often do we stand in need of the same wisdom over and over because we forget? Who has forgotten last week's sermon? Not going to call, not going to ask you any questions, so don't be afraid. Because I would probably forget more myself. And I wrote it. I preached it. But we are just leaking all the time. And so we stand in need of constant reminders. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And if you say, I don't need any more wisdom, I got enough. Boy, something's wrong with you. Your salvation is empty, pointless, and vain. I've had people say that to me. I've had people say, that's enough. I don't need to hear about sin anymore. I understand that. He doesn't know the wisdom of God. If we say such things like that, we are like the Laodicean church that says, I am rich and have need of nothing. And what did Christ say about them? He said, no, you know not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Believers, if this is our condition, listen, the Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is not to an unbeliever. This is to a believer in Christ, one who has life. One who professes faith in Christ. Behold, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. This morning I was eating my breakfast and I was thinking about one day I'll be eating with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But right now we have a spiritual food, a spiritual communion that we should be engaged in. Behold the generosity of our God to give Christ to us who lack wisdom, who come to Him in fear and humility. Let us repent of our dead works and serve Him. You remember those guys who were sad coming back on the road to Emmaus? And the Lord Jesus Christ fellowshiped with them. He sat and ate with them. And when He disappeared out of their sight, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? I desire to have such fellowship with my Lord. That my heart would burn, not with an earthly passion that's up and down, but a constant, steady love and faith. And so all who ask, He gives it liberally. He gives us Christ. Behold, today, if you lack wisdom, cast off your deeds and ask. Ask and He will give you Christ. How will He give Christ? Liberally. Freely. Freely. And notice this, and abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. God does not abrade us who lack wisdom and ask for it. This is not like us, because once we give instruction and people don't follow our instruction, when they come back to us all wounded, what do we say? Told you so. I told you! I told you, I told you, I told you. You see all this stuff you did? I told you it would happen to you. The Lord doesn't do that. When God gives wisdom, He gives it without upbraiding us. Without a rebuking voice. God does rebuke His children. God chastens His children. But when His children turn and ask, He doesn't mention their sins and iniquities anymore. The moment we ask, He embraces us with full and free grace. He gives us wisdom. He gives it freely. Like the first time He gave it to you. At the same time, next time you come, He gives it the same way, by free and sovereign grace. Now lastly, let's apply this. Are you in a great trial? Do you stand in need of wisdom? Yes. Have you taken your eyes off of Christ? Have we become complacent and content with the earthly things? We do often. If we are, then we are lacking wisdom. We are lacking to look by faith to Jesus Christ, who is the believer's joy and strength and salvation. Believer, forsake all and follow Christ. Did our Lord not make that clear to us? If any man hate not his father and mother and sister and brother and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The Lord Jesus must come first, above everything else. And to those who come seeking Him in this way, God gives generously. And He doesn't say, I told you so. He gently embraces us and gives us what we ask for. And this is obtained only by faith. James says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And James is not talking about faith in your faith that wavers. He is talking about faith in God, who does not waver. Does God waver? Does God move? Has His word changed? Has His grace changed? Has His love changed? No. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has received us, He is receiving us, and He shall receive us. He's made Christ our wisdom. He gives us wisdom, and He'll continue to give us wisdom in the midst of our troubles and trials. Because His word is yes and amen. His word is yes and amen. I pray that God give you comfort. If you lack wisdom, ask. You're in trouble. Seek God. Trust in His word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know this, God will give it to you, and He gives it freely.